They'll teach you history, but they'll teach you what they want you to think is American history.
For us as a people to take that off, they put it on us, they put this yoke on us, and none of it has ever been true.
Because it was made a thing, things were done, and now wounds have to be healed.
Women cut their hair really short, but I'm sure they would have done something beautiful with that.
You're sure that they would have?
I'm sure.
This is Shay, a good guy, and I am being black on Earth.
First, it was just on contract, you know, just a servant for a time. But they found it more lucrative and actually more manageable to have a set of people who worked for free, i.e. the slave. And being that the Negro was already known as a slave for at least the last 150 years before the United States came along, they seemed like a really good candidate. Hardy people, hard-working, can handle the heat and the sun longer than the Native American, longer than the European. He becomes the slave. She, he, it, they. Chattel slavery. You know that word chattel actually comes from, it's a derivative of the root word capital, or, and it also comes off of cattle, right? Because your cattle was your capital. So we blacks, here in America, in the Americas, became a commodity, the skin trade. And they worked us, and they raped us, and they bred us. They experimented on us. Maybe you don't know that. But if you don't, for example, look up the father of obstetrics, gynecology and obstetrics. Just Google it. See what you come up with. See that guy's name and see what kind of things he was doing. And the things they thought of us, that we didn't feel pain, we didn't need sleep. We were some alien thing. It's always strange to me when somebody else decides whether or not you feel something. I remember my sister would always say to me, I'm throwing my sister under the bus right now. She has two daughters, and she treated them differently, because they were different. She would say certain things to one, and I'd say, how can you say that to her? And she goes, why can't she take it? My other daughter can. And my brain would explode at that question. I was just a kid, I was just a teenager. I'm like, how do you not understand that what one person can take, another person can't? And how do you know that she could take it? Maybe she's just showing it differently, displaying it differently, handling it differently, but not really taking it. But yeah, they believe that we don't feel pain. And in some ways, they still think that. A lot of those stereotypes about black people are still taken in as fact by the general society. It's in the back of their mind. I even heard Joe Rogan on an obscure clip on YouTube. He asked one of his guests, I imagine it was a guest, he asked him, you know, what was his background? And, the guy goes, oh, I'm a mix. I'm black and white. And Joe Rogan replied, oh, you got the body of the African and the mind of the European, or something to that effect. And who doesn't like Joe Rogan? You know, Joe Rogan is the everyman, right? Everyone loves Joe Rogan. So I don't think for one second that Joe Rogan is a racist. Maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe he's like, what do you call it? You know, you can have a functioning alcoholic. He could be a functioning racist. Because that was definitely a racist thought. that's how the eugenicists thought, right? That's what Hitler was thinking. Not necessarily about black people and black bodies, but in general, that's the thought. You know, you come from good stock. I mean, you know, that's what dog breeders do. And he said it with a pretty much straight face. I don't know he was joking, although he is a comedian. Being a comedian is like being a Christian. You can hide behind any sin and just be like, hey, I'm a comedian. You know? I don't really think your pussy's beautiful. It's just a joke. So, yeah. I don't. It's like, you know, it's like Christianity, you know, it's like they do anything, like they just shot a man, like, but my God will forgive me. He knows my heart. Just raped a little girl, like, my Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm a Christian man. My worst day is better than your best day. So yeah, even Joe Rogan, you know, it's you get a racist education here. If you think, and a lot of people are not willing to accept or even care because things are just going so well here. You know, it's the United States, it's just one big, giant drug sex fueled money fueled party, so it's just hard to feel bad. You know, even the poverty is pretty good here. The American brand of poverty, in some cases, I mean, excluding Flint and some of these really horrible situations like in New Orleans and Mississippi, the poverty here is just, it's choice poverty. And I'm speaking from experience. I live in poverty. I am not by any means a rich man. I grew up, first of all, I was raised in a third world country. And you know what? Let me digress for a minute, because there's something interesting that I have noticed about these here United States. So I grew up in a third world country. I grew up at a time when we didn't have water. You know, we had to actually collect our water in a water tank because sometimes they would shut off the running water. They would shut off the power. So I took baths in a pipe at times. I took baths with a bucket. You know, not a big deal, but it's like if you grew up in the islands, you know, this was a pretty common place. I certainly thought nothing of it. I ran around barefoot, you know. We didn't go to the grocery store at that time. We raised chickens. That's what we ate, you know. When my grandmother prepared lunch, it was my brother getting up in the morning, killing a chicken. My grandmother spending the rest of that morning and afternoon plucking that chicken and prepping that chicken. It was an all-day situation. She went and got her veggies from the yard. Everything I ate fresh fruit, freshly squeezed juices. You know, she would go to the market for certain vegetables and to buy little chicks and things like that. And just so happened, the next door neighbor was a butcher. And it was actually a slaughterhouse, like, across from us. So that was how I lived, very rural, if you will. We didn't have a washing machine. My grandmother washed clothes by hand and hung it out to dry on a line outside. You know, we collected eggs every morning, and that's what we ate, eggs in the morning, from the fresh eggs that our chickens laid. Very rural living. But one thing I noticed that when I moved to the United States now, it was like, you know, speed of light. It was literally like going into cryosleep and waking up 100 years later because everything is so vastly different. Like, no one's raising chickens and collecting eggs. I remember going to the grocery store and just seeing stacks of chickens already trussed up and plucked. And I'm sitting there going, who the hell was working that hard today? They prepared all those chickens in one day and wrapped them in plastic. I remember one time I was walking in the grocery store with a friend of mine, and he points out a coconut to me. And he goes, look, a coconut. And I'm looking at this round, fuzzy thing, and I'm going, that is not a fucking coconut. What are you talking about? I grew up with fresh coconuts, so I had never seen the little shell on the inside. We just chop off the top, drink that, break the whole thing in half, eat the jelly. I never really paid attention to, like, you know, what happens when you peel off the husk. So this was what I am having to deal with. Nobody's washing clothes by hand. Nobody's running outside barefoot. Put the clothes in the washing machine, you know. My TV was outside. That's what we call TV. You go outside, you go climb a tree. But moving to the United States, you know, video games, TV, everything was just packaged, processed, very different. And the poverty was different. Because one thing about living in a third world country, the people, for whatever reason, and I'm definitely generalizing here, this is just my experience in my little small town, the people are always very clean. There was a lot of pride and emphasis put upon being very clean and tidy. Even if your clothes had holes in them, you were never dirty. Your body was never dirty. You didn't smell bad. You had to make sure to bathe every day. You press your clothes before you go outside. You comb your hair before you go outside. You go outside presentable. Even in a situation where you know your neighbor intimately. Your neighbor's seen you, you know, like, we would have the next door neighbor, like, neighbor. Because we were the only ones with a water tank in, like, maybe like a 2-3 house little radius there. So oftentimes the neighbors would come to us to take a shower or borrow water when the water was off. And they would walk right over in their robe and their towel, like, neighbor, Your mind if I take a bath there? And they say, go ahead, no man. And they go take a bath. So we've seen each other in these intimate situations, but still, when you go out, when you present yourself, you're clean, you're tidy, you smell nice. But if you compare that lifestyle to this American lifestyle, you guys have so much more, so much, everything is so much easier, some things can be done so much faster. However, my experience, once again, in my little small town here in the United States where I was raised, the poverty was different. It was treated different. You would come outside anyway. You would come outside, hair matted, smelling like pee, clothes dirty and wrinkled. I didn't understand that. I just found that very odd, and I wonder what that is. It's a certain depression, I think, that happens here in the United States, depending on the city. And I will admit that the particular city where I grew up, was born in, and grew up for a short time in, was notoriously a depressed city. It's a college town, and if you know college towns, there's not much going on there but the college. So it was already a depressed town, but it was just very stark seeing that kind of a strange poverty where you go to someone's house, there's no food in the refrigerator, but they have a washing machine and cable TV, and their clothes are filthy, and they smell like pee. It's just different, you know? It's like, whoa, I don't get that. So yeah, but I will say the poverty here is choice. You know, like I remember I used to, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm an altruistic guy, you know, blame it on my mother. It's just in me to go out and give. So I would feed the poor, you know, and I would go to a particular neighborhood here in Miami to feed the poor. And the homeless man in that neighborhood had a set of golf clubs. Yeah. He would golf every morning. He had, at that time he had beepers. This was before cell phones. He had a beeper. You know, and he was chilling. He would go out, panhandle dollars, you know. It was a different, I remember a couple of times I dropped off some homeless people and needed me to take them from one place to another. I took them, and they were panhandlers. They would sit out there and collect money. I remember I was giving them a ride somewhere, and when I say these people are homeless, they're homeless. They're, you know, they're dirty, their clothes are dirty, missing teeth. You know, they're living a hard life. But when they got in my car and I'm driving them, they were like, yo, baby, how much money you get? What you get? This chick pulled out a wad of money that looked like a freaking toilet paper roll. And I was just like, but it was all singles. But that had to be at least $200, man. Different people here. It's a choice level of poverty that happens here, as opposed to some other places. But I think it's balanced out by a certain level of depression, a mental depression that is not easy to shake. It's a rat race that goes on here. It's truly a rat race that goes on here in the United States that you become accustomed to and you think it's normal. As a matter of fact, you know, I think if you see somebody not behaving that way, you think maybe something is wrong with them. You're too happy, kind of a thing. Or, you know, like maybe even saccharine, you know, like it's like the other extreme. It's not real joy. It's sort of this fake, put on, phony joy. And that's an issue here, man. I think it leads to a lot of mental illness. So I will say, going back, so I digress, back onto slavery now. So here it is, you have these people, black people, living quite harshly. And I'm sure that it was a little bit better in the North, but we were still prone, had to look over our shoulders, all kinds of riots. You know, people tend to forget these things, you know, they were bombing us and destroying our neighborhoods. All the things that you accuse black people of doing now in their own neighborhoods was done to them at one point. For a long period of time, in fact. And there is a way in which the commodification and the iconography that was made up of the black. Because you have to remember, if you commodify a person, if you take a human being and you turn them into a tool, a very lucrative tool at that, You cease to see them as human because you have reduced them down into only the parts that are useful to you. So it's like eating a watermelon, right? Well, not anymore because there's only seedless watermelons now. But back in the day when you would eat a watermelon, you know, you eat the watermelon, you spit out the seed, you throw away the rind. And you just eat the pulp. It's the way it is with most things. And that's what, when you do that to a people, human beings, over time, over generations, you sort of train them, condition them to be that way. When the watermelon needs all of it, right? The seeds, you know, you needed to procreate, the fruit. The rind has actually the most nutrients in it, and most people don't know that. You can juice that. You can make things out of it, you can make treats out of it. Most people don't know that. But if you just quickly just grab out that pulp, nice and juicy, and you also, too, you use the rind to determine the quality of the fruit that you have as well. So keep that in mind. So all the parts are absolutely necessary, but when you want to eat it, when you want to consume it, you're just taking that. It's almost like what you hear about when the Europeans came here and they encountered the Native Americans, and the Native Americans would, they say, and they killed a buffalo. It was a very sacred thing. It was a ceremony, and they use every part of the buffalo. The skin becomes clothing. The meat becomes food. The bones become tools, and so on and so forth. But then they said the European came, and they were just killing the buffalo for the skin, and that was it. And they were just wasting the buffalo until it just became a hide. That's all you needed from it, and everything else would just go to rot and waste. And then eventually, the buffalo became extinct because of that. So if you do that to a people, right? And these happen, you've done that to people, and those people did become extinct because Europeans went around the world doing that very thing, commodifying a peoples, and those peoples ceased to exist, or their numbers dwindled to something insignificant, right? But with the black man, with the black peoples, this amalgamation of African nations all molded into one set of people here, obviously somehow made for a very resilient people. So the people didn't dwindle away as much, but something in them was dwindled away. Some parts of the mind, some parts of the spirit were morphed and taken away so that they become exactly what you call them. They become a caricature. They become, at least even in your mind, this vehicle of entertainment, this tool for capital. The bug-eyed, bumbling, big-lipped, nappy-head, dark-skinned pickaninny. The nigger is what it becomes. It actually becomes that refined product. Not any longer that beautifully crude matter that was the human being, that was the Wolof, that was the Yoruba priest, maybe, that had a story and a mother and a father, but you reduced them down. You actually even broke up the family so that there wasn't even a semblance of relationship left there. They became this tool, and you do that over generations. You're like breeding, like almost like a, like dog breeding, yeah? And I remember there was that Greek, what was he, like a sports spokesman guy? I cannot remember his name. Jimmy the Greek? And he made that comment. He said he was commenting on why black athletes are so superior. I remember him saying that. And I remember it didn't shock me one bit because it was 100% true. And it's something that, believe it or not, black people say amongst each other, those who are in the know, those who are woke, those who know their history. Like, that's exactly what happened. They bred the strongest black male with what they consider the strongest black female. And over time, this is what you've created. And they shut his ass down. They did him way worse than they did, what's the guy, the one that said nappy-headed hoes, the radio host white dude, who has nappy hair himself, interestingly enough. But that guy, they did him worse than anybody. They shut him down completely. And the man didn't even say anything racist. He actually just said something historical. And actually factual, because it's exactly what they did. They bred us like horses, right? So my point is, after a while, that human is not human. It becomes a mascot. It becomes a tool. It becomes an icon. And then you use it even to entertain you and to even sell products. So you see the black Sambo, you know, selling bed and breakfast, selling cornmeal, selling pancake mix, pancake syrup, and dancing for you and entertaining you. And then you want to mimic it. You want to do the dance. So you dress up like Halloween. You dress up like Superman. You dress up like Batman. Hey, well, you're going to dress up like your most lucrative tool, the nigger. I want to be a nigger for Halloween. Not a big deal. You like niggers. They're great. Back in the day, your great-great-grandfather was nursed by a mammy. You love your mammy. You love her cooking. You're constantly up under her apron. She took care of you. She raised you, nursed you, took you to church. Change your diaper. You love the old nigga, right? The house nigga, the yard nigga, your garden, made your little toys. You used to play with his son when you were little till you got older. You love the nigga. You love the nigga, right? Like you love your cat. Like you love your dog. And it becomes an icon. No different than going to a burger joint and they have a cow as their logo. That's what we seem to forget. And it hasn't gone away. And it's worldwide. It's worldwide. Why is it worldwide? Because slavery was worldwide. They carved up Africa like a Thanksgiving turkey. Had feasted on that thing and then ate for centuries after off of the soups and sandwiches that it made. And it's still making. Look, China moving in right now. Africa is not even done yet. It's just a gift that keeps on giving. From the Romans all the way up right now to the Mongolians are getting in on it. Getting in on Africa. It seems to me that every single superpower that has existed on this planet first had to control Africa. The Macedonians did it. The Romans did it. The Dutch did it. French, Spanish, British, United States, Arabs, and now here comes China, about to take over the world, because they're in Africa. So it's all over the world, this black icon that continues, once again, is the gift that keeps on giving. Give that thing a sport, man. Put a ball in that thing's hand. And you, oh my God, he will entertain you. The merchandise you will be able to sell off of that thing. My God. Give that thing an instrument. Any instrument. A turntable. That thing turned a turntable into an instrument. They began to play the thing that was supposed to play the thing. That's amazing. Who are these? What is this product? Better than the goddamn iPhone. 10 times more lucrative. I've heard people say that the number one U.S. export is black culture. Black American culture forged right here. Gave you jazz, blues, ragtime. All your dances. All your slang. All your style. Look at that. Rap music, hip-hop music. K-pop, man, I watched a documentary on K-pop the other day. I thank God that my teenage daughter is not a K-pop fan. Because that shit is just so fucking ridiculous. But I just saw a documentary on K-pop and realized that all it is a bunch of Koreans that imported and began to mimic hip-hop music and just made it mainstream. That's it. Copied the dances, the style. And now that's their biggest market, K-pop. Hip-hop, man. That's all us. But we never ceased to be that caricature, though, to white America. Because they didn't blend with us. Right? They didn't really get to know us as a people. Because you're not supposed to. You know, it's like, you don't hang out with the... You don't even hang out with the iPhone in that way. It's not a person. It's a thing. Right? So you're not really going to get to know it. And then in the back of your mind, you know it's not a thing. You know it's a human. So there's that white guilt. Little twinge of conscience that's going on there. And then there's also those who are just completely and utterly disgusted by this thing and don't want anything to do with it. Send it away. Send it back to Africa, right? So there is, though, history to be told. I mean, black history? I mean, come on. Obviously, when it comes to education, black history is a joke. It's treated like a joke. Like, okay, you want some of your history? Okay. Here, we'll do it for a month. Come on. We'll just talk about Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, talk a little about slavery, 28, 29, and then March. Here comes March. Alright, shut up. That's pretty much black history. When black history is so much more vast than European history, right? We're so much older than the European. That even Cleopatra, the pyramids are actually older to her than she is to us, if you think about that. That's how ancient African history is. We're ancient. There's things that they're still figuring out today about African culture. Still digging it up, still trying to figure it out. Who built the fucking pyramids? Was it aliens? Were they actually black, like dark-skinned black people? Are you kidding? Is Egypt really part of Africa, though? I mean, really? Yeah, it's part of Africa. Don't stress it. And believe it or not, Israel is actually Africa. They won't tell you that. But before, the Frenchmen went in there and built the Suez Canal. That was actually considered the Horn of Africa. Yeah, it's, you know, it's in the Bible. You know, you got the Palestinians and the Jews over there fighting over the land. But it's the land of Ham. So give us back our shit. Please. It has our name on it. It's anciently called Canaan. Okay? The grandson of Ham, who everyone knows is the son that founded all of Africa. The Africans are called Hamitic people. Some of y'all black people want to claim Shem and all that. Whatever. Claim Shem if you want. I'm telling you, Israel belongs to the children of Ham. Black people, give it back and stop fighting over it. Y'all fighting over my ball. So chill out. And you look at the Jews. I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. Ben Shapiro, does he look like somebody that's from Israel? No, they're not. They're like Russian Jew, German Jews, Spanish Jew. Where's the African Jew? If you're from Canaan, if you're from the land of Ham and you came down from the Ur of the Chaldees, how come y'all never explain that? I'm not trying to diss anybody. If somebody's going to call me anti-Semitic. Well, nobody's listening to my program anyway. I got like 50 people listening to my program. But I think that Jews should explain that. From the moment they meet you, like, hi, I'm a Jew, and this is how come my skin looks like I am from Spain. You know, like, this is what happened to me. Because every people get all bent out of shape, you know, with this whole Jew thing. Like, oh, I'm not, like, I heard Larry Elder. Let's listen to Larry Elder. Hold on a second. Oh, man, I'm at the, yeah, let's listen to Larry Elder. Let me play this little thing here for you. Because some people get all bent out of shape. I am American. I am not African-American. My people were here before your people. But you notice that Jews don't really make that distinction. They call themselves German Jews, Russian Jews, right? Sephardic Jews. But you don't often hear about the African Jew. I guess unless they're calling themselves Israeli. Here it goes, the Rubin Report. I hate the way this thing starts up. I'm going to edit this shit out.
I want to get this right, so I want to look at my notes for this. According to this, you are black. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. Okay.
Not African-American. That's not a term I like.
How come you don't like the term African-American?
Ridiculous. I was born and raised in America. I've never been to Africa. Why am I an African-American? Most of my people have been here longer than most of the other people in this room, yet most people don't have a hyphen. I'm an Italian-American, Greek-American, Romanian-American. It's an absurd term. It's a term that Jesse Jackson almost single-handedly crammed down the throats of our media, and after Jackson began to talk about why blacks should have some connection to Africa, all of a sudden, New York Times, LA Times, all of the media began using that expression. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
See, that's... And now, how come the Jews aren't... How come you're not upset about that? That he's saying that hyphenated term is ridiculous, and that where you have lived for the majority of your existence or for a long enough period of time, that you should just be considered that. But the Jews don't do that. They don't just say, no, I'm Russian. How dare you call me Jewish? How dare you, fucker? I'm not Jewish. I'm Russian, buddy. I'm Sephardic. Right? I mean, but they don't. They hyphenate it. And there's no hyphen for them, though. It's just German Jew. It's like black American. But, yeah, I don't know. But that's Larry Elder. I mean, you make sense of him. Do you see that belly laugh that he gave when Dave Rubin said that he's black? He just thought that was the funniest thing. He's so weird. And that answer that he gave, like, you swear he was practicing that shit on some index cards before he went there. Like, but I'm not, yes I am, but not an African-American. I don't like that term. Where's Jesse Jackson? Yeah, Jesse Jackson. Whatever. How could he stand himself, I wonder? So yeah, the Jews don't do that. They don't do that to themselves. They definitely remain connected to their heritage. But for whatever reason, some people want to take it from us. No, I'm African. Do not take my African away from me. There's some things I still need to know. Thank you very much. And when I go back to Africa, the, you know, may the ancestors allow it. I want to be able to connect with my people, man. Be like, yo, I'm actually learning some Yoruba now. I actually picked up some Yoruba religion, getting used to some of the stories and stuff like that. I can't really say anything in Yoruba. I just know, well, onapele, like I know like the little terms, you know, like stuff like that. It's a tough language actually to learn. It's very tonal. So, you know, you could have the same word spelled exactly the same way, but pronounced with a different tone each time. It means something else. So, I definitely want to reconnect to my Yoruba. I did my DNA. Everybody's shouting down DNA. Then now the FBI has got you. Man, the FBI got my ass anyway. Trust me. You know, and if they, I ain't even worried about that. They got my DNA. I ain't got shit to hide. Maybe I'll be eating my words 20 years from now when my ass is in a concentration camp or something. But for right now, I needed to know what I was made up of, what blood was coursing through my veins, so that when I read my African history, when I pick up a book by John S. Mbeaty, when I'm reading Chancellor Williams, I can connect. I can say, oh, he's talking about Senegal. Oh, he's talking about Ghana. You know, he's talking about the Ashanti. He's talking about the Wolof. I'm part Wolof. My people are from Senegal. There's Senegal blood in me. Whereas before, you couldn't do any of that. You just, I'm from over there in that general direction, over there. That's all you could do a few years back. And now y'all want to fight down just because somebody want to get freaking DNA and get a little bit more. So I took the general one that just kind of gives you your breakdown. But I need to take that African ancestry that's going to give me my freaking tribe now next. So that's the next one I'm going to do. And I'm actually know what the breakdown of my tribes. And I saw, what's this dude? The karate dude. Oh my God. Michael Jai White. He went back to Africa. I guess he, you know, and he knew which tribe he was from. And they crowned him king. They put him in a freaking Black Panther outfit, yo. And he was black. He was the original Black Panther, for real. I know that freaking Chadwick Boseman was sitting somewhere jealous as hell, hating. Freaking Michael B. Jordan was like, that was supposed to be my seat, auntie. That was dope. That was just dope. It was really awesome seeing that. Him there with his wife and that those African peoples, I forget what tribe, I think it was Hausa. I want to say that it was a Hausa tribe that he belonged to. I could be wrong, Michael Jai White. You will listen to this podcast, Michael Jai White, because I mentioned you. And you will feel the need to come and correct what I just said. Michael Jai White listened to my podcast. But I think it was Hausa. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Igbo. Probably like more likely Igbo. And that was just beautiful just to see that they immediately reconnected with him and accepted him. And I don't know what he did to become king now. I don't know if he had to, like, murder people or fight in a war or something like that, or he just presents himself maybe, and or if they actually knew his lineage, which would be even a more dope. That's like movie dope. That's like Harry Potter type shit, right? Where he finds out that he's an actual from the actual line of kings, man. I wouldn't be coming back here at all. I'd be over here. I'd stay my little happy behind right over there. Like, I am king. Now, where is the royal butt wiper? I can feel the bowel movement coming on. Anyways, that Michael Jai White thing was beautiful. And for that very reason alone, I would never deny or seek to deny my African heritage. Don't ask me what's wrong with Larry Elder, yo. Larry Elder is not. I think Larry Elder and Jesse Lee Peterson are not black. I really don't. I don't think that they're black people. I think that Get Out was actually a documentary, not a thriller, not a fictional thriller. Jordan Peele actually made a documentary. I'm convinced of this, that he made a documentary and that those things are happening. And not maybe not exactly the way that it's, you know, with the little, you know, you won't be able to tell with the line, and I don't think you could flash them. And I don't think there is a sunken place. I think that it's a total makeover. Once you go black, you can't go back to being white again. And they do that as a superior infiltration into the black community. Candace Owens, maybe Kanye, maybe they botched Kanye, and that's why he's so like, whoa, like he's bugging out. So yeah, I don't need, keep your African heritage, man. You don't have to put a hyphen on it. You know, the thing is that once you find out who you are, then you could just be like, no, I am Nigerian American. Or maybe we come up with a different name, call us the Many Nations people. Because we have so much stuff in us because of slavery, which is a very unique thing, I think, maybe even slightly different from the Jews, where they are a Jewish people and moved over to, say, another land, and that's that, right? Let me think, is it the same? Yeah, it's different in that you're Jewish and you're from a particular tribe, you know, so you are, I'm sure that those Jews, I'm sure like Ben Shapiro can trace his lineage back to whatever tribe, Judah, Levi, Benjamin. He probably has that paperwork, that family tree. Whereas black people don't have that, and we are distinct peoples. So it's not like you can, the Jews can say, listen, we're all the nation of Israel. We are one nation, and there's just tribes within those nations. Whereas us as Africans, we are just different nations completely. So the Ashanti and the Hausa and the Yoruba, different nations, and you blended different nations together, and then you blended us with other nations again across the sea. So that's slightly different from how the Jews are in that sense. So that complicates our history a little bit more and our issues a little bit more.